Session number 11202, Reel 4.
Mr. J.C. Rogers, Reel 4. Can you recall the date in which you were at Tiverton, Mr. Rogers?
I can't recall the exact date, but I would say it would be about October in 1940, which we spent the time. And we spent a good time in Tiverton.
How did you find the civilians in Tiverton?
Oh, they were quite good. When the soldiers got the leaves and went home and they come back, the wives all wanted to come down to Tiverton, and the word went out and we just looked around for different billets, and they were fantastic, the people. Best part of the battalion had the wives down in Tiverton in the early stages, because then we'd found out that we were in Tiverton and out of the field was to prepare for embarkation. So while we were there, we had all kinds of jobs to do, like stencils on kid bags and preparing for ordering stores in for the embarkation, and topies and khaki drill, all these kind of things were coming. But we spent a nice time there because things were organised. We were in a town and we were out of the field, and they used to organise dances at night time. There would be quite a lot of them. And the company itself used to organise impromptu concerts, and the chaps used to get up and give songs, and you know, we used to be all collected together in one area. And besides getting out into the pubs and meeting the people, we had a fairly good time, and a nice time in Tiverton. And I remember one thing in particular I think I'd like to mention about Tiverton. We had been out for a drink, and we'd come out at night time, and we were walking back to the barracks. And there were two chaps in front of me, and one of them was called Wakenshaw. And we passed, and there was some scrummages going on over on the side of the road, or the middle of the road, and kind of a fight. And the soldiers were crowded round. And he turned to come back to go to them, and I shouted at him, I said, "Whack, it's got nothing to do," we used to call him Whack for short. I said, "It's got nothing to do with us." I said, "You carry on, man." He said, "No, not on your life." He said, that's a Durham in there." And he walked in and he sorted the whole lot out. I've never seen anything like it in all my life. Scattered the whole booty, picked the fella up that was getting punched by another fella and all the crowds around, put his hat on and just walked him away and put him out in front of him, and walked behind him on his way back to the barracks. Now, I'm going to tell you something more about Adam Wakenshaw later on, but that was the kind of spirit that hit me straight away about the battalion itself. He said, "Dad's got something to do with me." He says, "That man in there is a Durham." And he went in and he sorted the lot, and he got him out.
Was there much in the way of problems like that?
No, not really. You got some people getting drunk and going over the top sometime in the barrack room. But I don't think so.
Was there any training going on at this time?
Yes, manoeuvres were going on. For me then, I was getting into me storeman's job proper, because I'd been moved from above Jackson to Taylor's, and then we were put into the our company headquarters, which was in Castle Street in Tiverton, and then we were all together. The colour sergeant was there, and we had proper company officers there, and all these things that were going to be needed, the pioneers were working for getting things together, painting boxes, wanted on voyage, not wanted on voyage, you see. And as I've said before, every man in the company had to have his kid bag number and name and number on the kid bag, and that had to be stenciled on. So all these people were working. We had painters. There was one from Darlington, by the way, a lad called Tulson. This was going on all the time, and it was a big, big, long job just doing these kind of things. So for me, that was my work that I was helping with and getting done. But they also had a scheme from Tiverton, and we went on to Exmoor. So we went. We had a real good training there, setting up cookhouses and the men going out onto the moors. And our job was for to take the food out of them, have a cookhouse set up, and cook the food, put them into the 2-gallon containers, and put them around your neck and march over wherever they so far by truck, and then march over and supply them with the food while they were out there. So we had one big good scheme while we were there. But the ordinary training would be taking part, as I said, not for me so much, because I was out of the training, doing training then. I was doing work, which I liked. And
did you require any special training in this work that you were doing?
No, just what the instruction from the quartermaster. It was to make the pay slips out for the men that used to get paid, and I used to make the I think it was called impressed account or something, so just a little pay slip and a man's number and his amount he was going to be paid. And then on the Friday, in alphabetical order, they stood out there, and his name was shouted out, and he was paid. I used to do that kind of thing, and as I've said, keep lists of all the men in the company, the rifle numbers, and just taking care of them as they needed it. You know.
What was the pay at this time?
Well, it was still round about two shilling a day, about 14 shilling. I don't think for me it had increased anything in that time.
And of that amount, did you send some home?
Yes, seven shilling had to go home, and you were left with seven. Two, you didn't have to touch at all, because they kept that in case anything had to be drawn out of your pay for anything you'd lost. So you would have about 5 shilling a week, and didn't have a lot of money. Otherwise, you wouldn't have had to eat apples at night time. But we got there. It was.
What about sport? Sport going on?
Well, might have been, but I didn't get myself into any of it. Running when I was abroad, but not at I can't remember any at Tiverton. Ceremonial parades. We used to march through the town and let the people see how the Durhams and the Bugles, the band and Bugles. They're not the band, but the Bugles. We ceremonial parades and
the NCOs you were coming across now, were they a good bunch?
They were all the lads that had been in the Territorial Army and had come back from France, and I didn't have a lot to do with it. I used to meet them. So I would say that there were a good bunch of lads, friendly. But I never had to deal much with them other than say that they were okay, which my job was from then on, to say that they were okay. But there was mortar sergeants and platoon sergeants and all that were there, and they were all likable people. So Wynne Layton had upset, you know, from round about Newcastle, Gateshead, Felling, all these places. And I hadn't met a lot of people from Newcastle area until that I joined the battalion. And I always found that they were a good type and homely and friendly type of person.
Any recollections about your officers at this time?
Well, as I've said, I'd already met Captain Scott. He was our company commander. And a nicer man you couldn't have met. Because he was so nice, he got the thing done, but he was so nice in telling you that what he wanted to do and, you know, getting on with it. And there was one particular time, I can remember, the wife had come down to Tiverton and we were walking out to the park, not very far from where we were. And Captain Scott was coming along with some of his, I think he must have had his wife down as well, and a couple of other officers. And he stopped us, and I introduced him to my wife. And we had a boy then, and the boy was playing with his lanyard and his revolver. And I said, "Don't touch that." And he's such a nice fellow. He said, "Oh," he said, "let him have it." He said, "it's not loaded." And he took the revolver out and he gave it to the son, who was about three then. And he held it in his hand and he never forgot it. But the other officers, we just the colonel, Percy, Lieutenant Colonel Percy, he had, I think he had a wooden leg, and he had a peg, we used to call it a peg leg. And we were to do PT on a morning, and he would pick different companies and come round, and he used to do his bit at the back of the company when they were doing that. He would do his bit. We started to meet the adjutant, and one was Robinson, big tall fella. All right. John Willie, his name was, and that must have been his proper name, but we had to call him John Willie. We did, and not when he was there. Because there was another Robinson with us, and he was absolutely mad, so we called him Mad Robbo. But the only time we met them was when we went to the company office, and when we were on guard, other than my own company commander, which was there all the time, coming round to say that the job they're getting done right. But we're beginning to find them out. But they were all, some of them might have been regular soldiers. I think the colonel must have been a regular soldier. And some of them had been territorial officers. But we just didn't have a great lot to do with them, unless we had to go to the company office or anybody was put on a charge. But I kept myself up to that time, clear of that.
You said there was some air activity. Were you ever attacked or bombed in any of this?
No, they never dropped anything anywhere near where we were there at Dorset, going back to Dorset again. No, never. It was just that they were there and we could see it, and we didn't have anything to bomb really.
Did you call any invasion scares?
No. That the only thing was that it was expected, and we were there if it had happened. But what we could have done, believe me, it would have been absolutely futile, because we had nothing. Don't think we had any anti-tank guns behind us. If there was any at that time, there were only 2 inches. That's what we took out of Egypt. But we saw a few artillery behind where we were. We infantry were in the front, and there was some artillery behind when we had to do the stand and two. But we didn't have a great lot of anything to stop it. Might have been there in the offing. We might have had tanks standing by and other things. But to me, I think if the invasion had come then, before the Battle of Britain, I think we would have been in a bad way, I think. But we were there. The Derwent were there.
Was there any visits from distinguished people?
Not in Tiverton, Derwent, no.
Well, no. In Tiverton, what...
We were just preparing for embarkation there.
So you were preparing for embarkation
from Tiverton, and
it took place from there, did it?
Yeah.
And what about leave as embarkation was coming up?
We got two lots. The embarkation must have been delayed, and we got another one. So we used to let the leaves we got were okay.
How long were they?
I think it'd be a week. I don't know. I don't think the fortnight holiday had been heard of then. I think it'd be a week. And it was a long time getting home. We used to have to travel sometimes about 12 to 14 hours on a train when we got our leave home.
How did your family take the news that you were probably on one of these tours, you were on embarkation?
Well, not too badly. You see, the lads themselves were happy-go-lucky and carefree. The wives wanted to come down naturally, so they come down, and it wasn't until the actual time come when we had to get onto that train and we were leaving that there was a few tears then, and because some of the wives were still there. My wife, as a matter of fact, she was still there when we left with the boy. And when we got on the train and left, the Sergeant Major Barrett that I've already mentioned, he was swinging on the carriage door. That was the kind of mood he'd in. Whether he'd had a drink or not, I don't know, but that was the kind of mood he was in. And that's the kind of mood that the whole battalion are in when we went on that train to go abroad. They'd had hardship in France, and they'd come out of Dunkirk, and yet there was a kind of a happy spirit there all the time.
And now, what time was this, you recall?
What time when they
went abroad?
Hey, the time of the year. 1941. We left England on the 18th of April in 1941. So we'd had a good long stay in Tiverton, Devon. The people had gotten quite used to us by then.
And you recall the actual occasion on the train, obviously?
Going,
did the people of Tiverton turn out to see you off?
Well, what we did for them was they knew, we must have known, we were getting going to embark and leave from there for to embark on our ship. So they had been so good to us, we were told that we were going to give them a special ceremonial parade, and we marched through the town for them, and they lined the streets. The bugles were there, and we gave them the best turnout, I think, that I've seen for a long time. And I think they must have felt sorry, because there were lots and lots of people in Tiverton that had wives of the soldiers that were there, and they'd taken care of them and put them up for nights. The colour sergeant had his wife down, I had my wife down, and as I've said, the captain had his down, and probably the officers had, you know. And they had taken care of us. There was one particular place, I must mention, is a Claps Cafe. It was when we got a break doing our drills and whatnot, the lads, when they got a break, they used to go into this cafe down in the main street, and it was noted, Claps Cafe. because you could all get a cup of tea and a bun there. She used to make this stuff herself, I think. And when we got abroad, if anybody was asking about, he wasn't satisfied with the food he was getting, that was what they used to come back to him. The cooks used to say, "Where do you think you're at? Claps Cafe."
What were your feelings about serving overseas?
Well, it was an experience for me because I think I must have always wanted to travel because I used to read the books from the library was with Clive in India and that type of adventure thing. And when I was getting posted, we knew we were in it, and we knew that the war had to be won somehow or another. So if we were getting sent abroad, well that was it. Of course, we didn't know exactly where we were going to, that was one thing. But we knew we were going far away, and it was going to be a long time before we saw our wives again. But I never had any hard feelings about it, because it had happened before. They'd been to France and they'd come back from France, and now we were going to go somewhere else to further the cause. That's all I can say.
Were you issued with any special kit?
Oh, the Eastern kit. That's how we had a bit of an idea. We were going out somewhere into the East, and the khaki drill, topies, I think it was putties instead of gaiters or something. But it was all new type of gear, light type of gear. But until we got out there, and of course we had to take precautions for mosquitoes and things like that. We used to get things, ointment and things issued for that. But we got all the things we needed. We got issued to us at Tiverton. There was only one thing I didn't like about it, was when we did get the order to move, there was a chap from Ryab, he was in hospital, and he wasn't very well at all, and I had to go out and collect him. The doctors must have thought he was fit, but when I saw him, I thought he wasn't fit to travel. But he had to be brought out, and I had to get his kit and give him it, and he went out with us. And it was a shame, because that lad only got to Durban, and he was ill all the way, and he had to come back. He was sent back from Durban to make the trip back again. And I think the news was that he never made it. And it might have been TB, I'm not sure, but I think that was his complaint. But I expect they had to get all the available men that they could, and I just thought it would hardly fair on that particular person that take him from hospital and take him out. He wasn't fit. They could have sent him somewhere else.
So you left Tiverton, and where did you go to?
We got on the train at Tiverton and we went up to Gourock in Scotland. And the train couldn't have gotten any nearer to the ship. Matter of fact, you could nearly feel the waves coming off the side of the train. We right onto the dockside, and we were unloaded off the dockside. All that away. Our kit, and we were given a haversack ration and up the gangway under this big ship, and it was a troop ship called the HMS Arjuna. It had been a passenger ship at some time or another, but it was just about the at the end of its tether, I think, because it was tidy enough. And the colour sergeants and the officers and that had cabins, and I used to have to go to the cabins to do part of my work, and it was nice enough on there. But the lads were packed down onto these decks down below. When you get over here, I don't know about how many men have you got on that ship. 2,000, probably three, I don't know. But it was a bit much.
What were the actual conditions like from regards sleeping and eating?
Well, we got hammocks on the ship, and with so many being down in the decks, it was all right when we first started out. It wasn't all right for me because and one or two of this when we moved out into the Atlantic, I was seasick, and that's the most awful feeling in the world, being seasick. I hope it never happened again. And about 3 days I went missing. I was really ill, and I was lying on the sack of potatoes where they kept the sacks of potatoes for the galley. And the colour sergeant, he was an ex-marine, by the way, and then he come round and he found me, and I told him how it was. He said, well, he said, you're not going to do anything staying here. He said, you go up on deck and get out on the deck. So I got up and he marched me around the deck, and the wave was raining, the waves were sky high, and he was telling me, don't look at them, look right out at sea. And he pulled a packet of crisps out of his pocket, and he said, try that. And I said, oh, I don't think I touch it. He said, try one, and then we'll have another walk. And I ate a couple of crisps, and I went down for another walk. And lo and behold, about 10 minutes after that, it had left. And he said, how do you feel now? And, can you eat your dinner? And I said, eh? He said, well, get yourself away downstairs. But it was an awful feeling. But that was in the cold and the rough weather when we were out in the Atlantic. But when we got further out into the Middle East, and it started to get hot, well, it was getting a bit depressing down in the decks. So we were all glad to get up on the top. Anyway, we were advised to. And we plenty to do. They gave us bingo and concerts and all different kinds of things that you know, just to keep you occupied. And even to get an old rifle and cleaning it and doing what you can.
The food, what was the food like?
Well, it wasn't bad on the ship. It was served from a galley, but I can remember one time that I think it must have been the so many people on the ship, the lads were getting, the tempers were getting a bit frayed, and you used to have to take turns and be an orderly, and you went to the galley and you brought these your number of food that you had to collect, and you brought them on plates, and you passed them around, and you went back and got another one. And I can remember being at one at the table one time, and one fella, the orderly was issuing it out, and he said, he was a real rough fella, he was, yeah, I think he was from the felon himself, but he was orderly for that day. And one of the fellas grumbled, and he said, you've got a, you've kept the biggest one back for yourself. And he said to him, do you want this one? And he said, I do. So he walked up the table, the side of the table, with the plate in his hand, and he just crashed it into his face, and the plate broke, and the blood come out of his face. And then, of course, the sergeants come in and took over and separated them and got them away. But when I was orderly, I made sure that I always kept the smallest plate out of that.